The admonition to be ready, to be prepared, to be constantly prepared is something that is very relevant to us in this spiritual battle. And that is one of the most clear themes throughout Scripture, that we are in a spiritual battle, spiritual war, and that we are to be soldiers for Christ. And most of us have never been soldiers, not in the, like in the, you know, military sense. But that analogy is really clear in Scripture. But first of all, actually, yesterday being Veterans Day, could we have all of our veterans please stand? Veterans of military, could you please stand? Could we thank them for their service? Thank you. I called my dad yesterday. I said, thanks for your service. He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, you know what I like? He's like, what? I like freedom. He said, oh. He said, well, you know what to do with it. I said, oh, it's not free, so thank you. And thank all of you. The gift that we have to pursue the Lord, the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. The free exercise of religion does not mean you get to privately believe whatever you want in your own little corner. It means you get to freely exercise that reasonably, like we don't get to do it in someone else's private business or home if they don't want us to. But it's not just about doing it in some secret place. People can do that all over the world. What we can do is do it publicly, openly. And, you know, of the many, many things that I can only do because of the service that all of you have given, one of my favorite ones is preaching at U of M on the Diag to those heathen Wolverines. And this is not something you can do in other parts of the world. Feel free to try. Actually, don't. Don't do that. Why can we do that? As a lot of people have sacrificed a lot so that we could do that. And it's not about imposing and everyone has to believe the same thing. And no, it is, but it is about, we actually get to discuss these things. We get to pray openly. We get to have a conversation with somebody who's totally has no idea about who Jesus is. And they can say, keep your religion to yourself, weirdo. Or they can say, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more. I hear plenty of both. And what a blessing. We have to see that, you know, the military service and yesterday, as I was celebrating Bob Niddle's funeral, now Bob Niddle was a really big history guy, okay? He was a really big history guy and loved watching World War II documentaries. And as I was reading the obituary and hearing from his family and hearing at the eulogy and getting to know him a little bit better through his family, I realized that, you know, I love all of those same things, first of all. I don't know if anyone's ever done StrengthsFinder, the Clifton StrengthsFinder. Raise your hand if you've done Clifton StrengthsFinder. Yes. Okay. For those of you who don't know, the three of us that raised our hands, it's for really cool professional people who are like really amazing. And you do this maybe as a leadership team or as a staff team, or you do this so that you see, okay, there's 34 strengths. What are yours? Like, how do you work well? Some people are very adaptable, okay? Some people have influencing abilities, and they can get people on board. And some people are really analytical, and they can kind of compare these things, and they love to, if you give them a research project, they will just die of joy. Other people, you give them a research project, they will die. So it's, we're all different. Okay, and mine is, my number one on this, so only two of you will know what this means, but context is my number one strength. It doesn't seem like a strength. It's almost like the shoveler in Mystery Men, but anyways. The strength there is, what does somebody with context do? They look to the past to see how, what has been done before, what has worked, how have we failed. The way in which we study history in order not to repeat mistakes might be kind of a broad sense in which you could say that's a strength. Okay. And what it said about me when I took this was, you probably spend a lot of your spare time watching World War II documentaries, and your YouTube feed is filled with all this and that. I'm like, how do they know? They look at my feed? No. It's got the right questions. And so some people are more futuristic, you know, but for those of you who do have this look back on history, perhaps especially military history, for those of you who have, you know, been to war, and for all of us who haven't but know enough about it to know that, you know, there is the reality of evil in the world that sometimes has to be confronted, but the spiritual battle is always happening. Okay, we have to realize that the way in which people like me and Bob Niddle, he would watch these documentaries and look back on World War II, and this is what his son said. His son said, my dad could clear a room by watching TV because he was always watching history and we all hated it. And he said, Dad, that happened a long time ago. It's not going to end differently now that you're watching it again. But doesn't really matter when you're into history. And so we watch that and we think, oh my gosh, isn't that amazing? What if this battle had gone differently? Or what if that hadn't happened? But it did. And isn't it great that we won? I'm really glad that we won. You know, in a similar way, we're going to look back on our lives and on the spiritual battles that happened in our lives. I don't know how similar it's going to be. It's going to be different as well. But in some way, this will be over. Just like World War II is in the past, so will this conflict be in the past. And we'll look back on it. And what will we look at? What will we think? What will we say about it later? It's not for nothing that throughout the New Testament, the theme of spiritual warfare is very prevalent. Okay? And to say a theme almost doesn't even make sense because it's bigger than that. This is one theme, and it's throughout reality. You know, we know there's this struggle between good and evil, between God and Satan, between the inside of us, between the spirit and the flesh. I can walk in the spirit or I can walk in the flesh. Here's the works of the flesh, they're really bad. Here's the works of the spirit and the fruits of the spirit, they're really good. And every day that we have to realize this is a battle. It's going to be over someday, but we're in the middle of it right now. And we have this one short time on earth. Yesterday was, in addition to being Veterans Day and Armistice Day, was also the feast of St. Martin of Tours, who is the patron saint of soldiers. I think that's a coincidence. I don't know how that could have been on purpose, but there it is. And he, you know, just on his feast day, I was at the Office of Readings, talks about this guy was tireless. He was tireless in his service. He happened to be a bishop. And he was so willing to serve whenever needed. And to the point where he was on his deathbed, and he was, though he was ready to die, he was also willing to stay. And he was old-ish, you know. But he was willing to stay. He said, Lord, if I need to be here longer, I'll be here longer. Realizing that his time of service is going to be over soon. And we have this one tour of duty, this one short time on earth, from which there are eternal consequences, with whether we get to heaven and whether we help other people get to heaven. And we have to remember that in Jesus's words here, it's about having oil for your lamps, being ready. Soldiers don't get ready, they just stay ready. They just are ready. There are so many stories that my brother Joe has from basic training and different times. And he was a pilot, so he had maybe a different training than some, but they would try to take their gun from them in basic training, you know, while they were sleeping. So they learned to sleep with their, because you don't want to get your gun taken from you because you'll never hear the end of it. Yeah, and they're the upperclassmen at West Point will never let you forget it. So they're sleeping with their arms around their guns. There are so many ways in which they have to stay ready all the time, even when you sleep. That's what a soldier has to do. And are you ready to, certainly to meet the Lord? And this gospel is about the end. It's about when we die. It's about when Jesus returns. It's about, you don't know the hour when your service will be over, okay? And you want to be right with God when that time comes. But it's also really true that we need to be ready for contact with the enemy at all times. What is the armor of God? So are you ready for contact with the enemy at all times? What does the Bible say is the armor of God? Can anyone name the armor of God? Raise your hand if you can name the armor of God. Not a lot of hands went up. I'm concerned that you might not be ready for contact with the enemy at all times if you don't know what the armor of God is. Ephesians 6. Now, you probably do know what the names are. So, the helmet of? Okay, good. I feel better. The breastplate of? Last night, they couldn't get this next one. The shield of? Thank you. Yeah, they didn't know it. And I was like, oh, it's okay. You don't need, that's just faith. That's not important. The shield of faith. You know, we have to have our loins girded with the belt of truth and our feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. And what is the one weapon that is offensive? Or what is the one piece of armor that's a weapon? The sword, which what's that? Which is what? Which is what? Which is what? Which is what?
The Word of God.
No, but what is it? It's the Bible. Sorry. Okay. Like, Father, I was preaching one day, exercising the hard-earned right for me to talk to people about Jesus and the Quad and Michigan, the Diag, and this talking to this guy is a Chaldean Christian, he's a Catholic, and this guy is a Muslim, and they're really good friends, but this guy's never talked to this guy about God. As soon as I broke open the conversation, I could tell that the Christian guy really wanted to talk about his faith, but it just seemed like he didn't have the opportunity. So I was that opportunity. And then this Muslim guy asked me a question, and I said, well, do you want to know what the Bible says about it? He's like, well, yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking. So I pulled out my Bible and opened it, and he said, oh, okay, you stay strapped all the time. There was a respect and an appreciation that he had when he said that. You know, some people might not like that. He really did, because I think he has enough of a sense of God to where he knows there's something holy about that book, that God can inspire a book. And in fact, yes, he can, and yes, he did. Now, he didn't inspire the Quran, but he did inspire the Bible. And I started reading to him from Scripture about the Messiah and how Jesus fulfilled all of these promises of the Messiah, which he was curious about, which he asked me about, and guess what? I had the ability to answer him because I knew how to draw the sword. God said this recently, and I mentioned it before, but I'm going to do it again. God wants to raise up parishioners in this parish who are able to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is
the Bible.
We got to go real concrete here, right? Do you know where Philippians is? If your life depended on it, if someone's salvation depended on it, could you open to the scripture that says something like, everything happens for a reason? Or would you settle for saying, you know, there's somebody who's, you're in a conversation, someone's going through a hard time, and you want to give them hope and encouragement, and you say, you know God's going to use all things somehow, and you just say, well, everything happens for a reason. Can I just say, that's not terrible, but your words and my words will fall to the ground, but the word of the Lord will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent forth. So if you don't know what Romans 8:28 says, you're like, I have a sword somewhere. Where did I put that? Here it is. And then we don't know Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose." It goes on to talk about how nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And so in this difficult time of trial, this person needs the word of God to cut through the discouragement, despair, doubt, whatever it is. The God isn't going to use this and all is lost mentality needs to be cut through with the Bible, with the word of God. Not everything we say needs to be a quote from the Bible, so don't hear me wrong. But there are times where nothing else is really going to cut through. The discouragement, the temptation, the doubt, the hate, the unforgiveness, whatever it is. And some of those things, like really, they just really need to be cut through. And only God's word can do that with many things. We have to be able, God wants us to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit. Like he wants you to be able to wield this. How can we do this? Well, first, it does help to actually know where the books of the Bible are and actually be reading it. Basically, it works this way. The Bible says that the word of God is a two-edged sword, sharper, you know, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, okay? And we need to first allow the word of God to pierce our hearts and to, in a sense, be cut by it. Not that it will be harmful. It won't be harmful. It will actually bring healing. But it will bring a conviction about, oh, here's where I need to change. Oh, here's where I need to think with greater hope, with greater faith. I need to act with greater love over here. It will give us, it will cut right through, and we need to allow the word of God to really pierce our hearts. And to, it happens when we hear the word of God, of course, at Mass. But we need to be also regularly drawing the sword in our own prayer time and reading it for ourselves. It's not, once a week is not enough to really let the word of God renew our minds. It's not enough. So we first have to allow God's word to penetrate our hearts, to pierce our hearts. Then we start to learn how to wield it. I mean, yeah, we need to know chapter and verse, and at least like what's the geography of the Bible. Is Corinthians and the Old or the New Testament? Like, it'd be good to know that, okay? And the more we allow it to transform our lives and renew our minds, the greater ability we will have when someone else comes in with something and they say, well, I don't know about this. And you can say, oh, I've been there before. Let me help you out. This is scripture that really helped me. Boom, here you go. And the more we're doing that, the less we're judging people. Because one of the ways in which we cannot wield the word of God is with judgment or a superior attitude or arrogance. When you try to strike somebody with the word of God and you're just judging them and you're just better than them when we're all superior, you know, people kind of see that coming. And as we try to bring it down, they just kind of dodge. They just kind of dodge and they're like, I know that's not true. There's something that doesn't resonate. Yeah, because arrogance is not of God. And it will ring false. But when we allow God's word to transform our hearts and renew our minds, when we're in the Spirit, yeah, we're not actually going to wield the word of God in that way. It's going to be wielded with great love, with care, with honesty and courage, but not with judgment. And then it rings true. And there's no dodging God's love. You know, we don't really want to anyway. But it's like, oh, I can't deny that. That person really cares about me. And that's really true. I can't deny that. I can't really dodge that. So, what's my point? God wants us to be able to wield the word of God. Like, he wants you to be able to do that. It's great to hear the word. It's really important. We hear it on Sundays. We hear you when you listen to Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. That's really great. But you're not actually opening it yourself. And I believe that's one of the things that God really wants. That's one of the ways in which we will be always ready. Scripture says, be always prepared to give a defense for the hope that is within you. Always being ready for this opportunity when the Lord wants to bring, he wants to expand his kingdom. And whether that's receiving the word of God or speaking it and proclaiming it to others, either way, he wants us to be always prepared. This is one of the really important ways that we have oil for our lamps. That light is going to be shining, that lamp is going to be burning, the light's going to be shining, people can see where to go. How will we see where to go when we know what God's word says, when we're able to receive it and when we're able to proclaim it to others?